Welcome to the Last Round MMA.
The guy's never beaten me. In order to be the champion, you have to beat the champion.
A podcast for the MMA fan.
Imagine that. Look at everybody up here. They're all dressed like me. They're all trying to talk like me. They're all trying to be me.
Bringing you in-depth interviews and more from across the MMA world.
This is like pride. You know, everybody's here. I feel great. And, you know, I can't wait. Saturday night, I'm going to crush this guy hype.
Are you ready? Let's start the show.
Welcome to episode 2 of the Last Round MMA podcast. And today's guest, we have Tony Kryptonite Lopez. Thanks for joining me, Tony.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No better place to start than at the beginning. So where did you grow up and how did you get into mixed martial arts?
Well, I grew up, I like to call it Krypton, California, otherwise known, you know, as Yucaipa. But yeah, you know, I grew up here and I growing up, I thought, you know, what do I want to do when I grow up? You know, and I thought sports, I want to do some kind of sports. And back in when I was young, you know, MMA didn't exist. So I was thinking like, hey, okay, I'll do boxing. You know, I can stay in shape, enjoy life and, you know, make a lot of money. So from there, as you know, as time went on, you know, MMA popped up and I was like, ooh, I like this, you know, cause my hands ain't that great. And I've never really focused on, you know, my hands, you know, being that good, but my kicks, I love my kicks. So MMA seemed perfect because I could do everything, you know, from wrestling or grappling, you know, to stand up, and it just worked out perfect like that. And, you know, that's what got me wanting to do MMA.
Was there anybody you looked up to when you first started? Obviously, Bruce Lee was big back in the day.
Oh, you know what? It was all those kung fu movies, you know, from Bruce Lee to, oh, what's his name? The other, I don't want to insult, but I think he was Japanese, but he did the movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme, his opponent, the bad guy, the big old, you know, that guy, you know, I loved him, you know, and all those kung fu movies, you know, it's like, growing up, you know, that's all I watch that. And then after that, go practice the moves, see what we can do.
When you first started training, how was getting punched in the face for the first time?
You know what? It wasn't that bad because I didn't, I was looking up because I'm tall. Most of my sparring partners were all, you know, 5'10" and shorter. So, you know, for them to hit me in the face was rare. So it wasn't too bad. I kind of warmed up to it as the years went on.
When you first told people that you were going to do like martial arts and obviously you started fighting, how did people take it? Because, you know, now UFC is, you know, loved, but back in the day it was kind of like an underground sport.
Yeah, no, you know, it was all negative. You know, it was like, what? Why you want to do that? You know, and especially, you know, from my parents, it was just, you know, they grew up, you know, just working hard and, you know, that's how you make your living. You work and, you know, come home and that's it, you know, but they were like, you can't make no money off that. How are you going to support your family? How are you going to do this, that? And I mean, it was tough because, I mean, there was no one that backed me up. You know, it was just like, man, this is what I want to do. And my thing was, I passed up a lot of job opportunities because I knew if I took them, I'd get stuck there because I'd be making good money. And I'd be like, well, I don't want to quit this and start over and do MMA and, you know, what do they start paying at? And, you know, when I did start MMA, I made $300 in my first two fights. So it was just like, it was pennies. And, you know, and so it's like, if I would have had a good career, I would have never left it. So I opted to pass up on all these great jobs that I had opportunities to have a good life so that I could do what I wanted to do, which was fight.
What was the first gym you trained at and how did you get your first fight? Was it something you looked at or was it something the coaches offered you?
No, you know what? My whole thing with my first gym was Executive Fitness over in Highland. Mm-hmm. And at the time, the people running it, I mean, they you know, every gym has their method of doing things. And that gym was, okay, you know, we need to teach you to block. We need to teach you to do this, do that. And everything they were trying to teach me was everything I never did. And even to this day, I still don't do those things, which is block. You know, you think, well, why wouldn't you block? My thing was, I never like getting hit. If I block, that means I get hit. You know, even though, you know, I'm blocking it, boom, I still got hit. I'd rather move, duck, whatever I had to do to avoid the, you know, getting any contact. So, you know, I went to that gym and asking them, can you get me into MMA? You know, because they taught MMA, and that's my first question was, you know, I'll join your gym if you can give me, you know, a fight. They said, yeah, and boom, that's where it went. But it didn't last long there. You know, they didn't like my methods of training, my style. Everything that I did was complete opposite of what they were teaching. Mm-hmm. So about, I think it was 2 weeks before my fight, they booted me out. And then I was like, okay, what am I going to do? You know, I don't know nothing about this. You know, this is my first fight. I've never been to one. I never even been to a show to say, I know, oh, they do this, they do that. And the only good thing was that this gym used to go cross train with Colin Oyama's gym. Mm. Back in the time, it was called No Limits. And so I went over there and hit him up like, hey, is it cool if you know, I join your gym? You know, I got a fight coming up. And I explained what happened. They took me in, and from there, it was just nonstop, you know, two fights. And then after that, I had to take a break because, like I said, $300 a fight wasn't cutting it. And I was driving from Ukiah to Irvine, which is, you know, about an hour and a half away. But if you hit traffic, turn that into 2.5-3 hours. And so, I mean, I was spending about 5 hours on the road training for two, and then coming home, going to work. So I was like, it was killing me for $300 every 3 months. Or I did that in two fights in about 6 months. So yeah, it was just, it didn't make sense.
What's the first so your first fights were with King of the Cage. Were your, was it a purse that was given to you, or was it like a ticket deal where you had to sell tickets and you got a percentage?
It was both. It was tickets and, you know, I just had a, excuse me, a flat rate of, you know, hey, you'll get this much if you, you know, you show up, and, or, you know, there was no, you win and lose. It's just, hey, you show up, you get this much. And what's that?
I was going to say, let's talk about your first fight, which was King of the Cage, Saboba Casino, March 20th, 2005, against Tony Galindo. I watched a previous interview with you doing the research where you talked about the nerves really kicked in that fight.
Yeah, you know what? It was my first fight, you know, first time in a cage in front of all these people trying to, you know, perform. And, you know, I was shocked, you know, I was stage fright, everything hit me. And, I mean, Tony Galindo, you know, they said he could hit hard. You know, he was a stocky little guy, but he was a little guy. You know, I mean, I think it was 5'7", maybe 5'8", if he's lucky. But, you know, I pretty much had a foot on him. And so when we're in the cage, you know, I'm doing around circles, and you might, mind you, I had stage fright, which is I forgot how to do everything and anything you could think of. You know, in my corner, Colin was looking at me. He's all, punch him. I look at him, I look back, and I was okay. I throw a punch. He's all, keep punching. And then he kick, hit him with your right. I mean, it was specific what he was telling me. You know, it's like he had to tell me every single thing to do. You know, I wouldn't move unless he told me to do something and stuff. And I was so nervous that Tony Galindo, you know, he jumped at me to try and get me to, you know, startle me or move me or something like that. Mm. Well, I was so nervous when he did that, I didn't move because I was like, what's he doing? What am I going to do? And when he did that, in turn, I scared him because he's like, oh, my God, this guy didn't even flinch. And I saw a look in his face and everything about him changed. Like, man, this guy ain't scared of nothing, which worked in my favor because I was terrified being out there like, what am I doing, you know? And the great thing was it ended in, you know, the first round in 3 minutes because, like I said, he was short. I grabbed him, you know, by the head, and I started lifting my knees up. And then his face just met my knee, and he just went down. And that was it. So, I mean, I was relieved because it was like, whoo, I got out of that one.
If memory serves me right, I think you went in really as the B side, and he was one of the big ticket sellers, right, Tony?
Oh yeah, yeah. That didn't set well with the promoter at all. I remember that I heard he had sold I think 400 tickets. Mm. I mean, he made bank, you know, and promotion made bank and stuff. And when I beat him, you know, this was his comeback fight because he had taken about a year or two off. So, you know, he's coming back to, you know, start making money for himself and the promotion. And I ended that. And yeah, you know, the promoter wasn't too happy. You know, he didn't say much to me that night, you know, when I got my my pay and stuff. And then, you know, I even got a copy of the fight that night. So, I mean, that was kind of cool.
Moving on to, I think it's your first title fight. You were 8-2. This was in King of the Cage again. And you went against Wes Coombs, who was 13-2, a former UFC fighter. This was July the 19th, 2008. What can you remember about that fight, Tony?
Oh, I remember everything about that fight because that fight, I decided to go and spar with Chuck Congo, you know, because Hector Sigdog Ramirez hit me up like, hey, you know, Chuck's down here, you know, he needs some sparring, you know, you want to come down? I said, yeah, definitely. I go down there and, well, you know, when I spar, I don't ever go to hurt nobody or hit hard and stuff like that. I'm just going to practice my stuff. But everybody else likes to hit hard. And, well, I can say that for Chuck, you know, he wasn't holding back. And we're going at it. And, you know, they're telling me, like, man, why are you hitting him so soft? You know, put more into it. And I was like, well, he had a fight coming up. And, you know, I always looked at it like, well, he's got a fight. I don't want to hurt him. And that didn't stop him, though. I threw a kick. He threw a kick, and he hit me right in my calf as my kick was up in the air, and my calf just boom, it swelled up twice the size. And this was 2 weeks before my fight, so you know, I no more training, no more doing nothing, just trying to, you know, get that leg healed. And well, the day of the fight, we had to walk up bleachers and back down them to, you know, go to the cage, and I was hobbling. I was like, man, how am I gonna make this look good, normal, like I ain't gotten hurt? And well, I started doing like a little gangster limp when I walked and stuff, and you know, played it off. But yeah, that fight was unforgettable. Also, besides that, when I got in the fight in the first round, in about the first 30 seconds, I got knocked out. And I went down, and Wes Coombs jumped on top, tried to finish me off. And you know, my body went on autopilot, and you know, I'm moving, trying to defend myself, but after about, I think it was a good minute of him just ground and pound, he got tired. And by that time, he woke me up. You know, all those hits, I was going in and out, awake, asleep. And finally, you know, at the end, when he got tired, he woke me up and I said, what the heck? I was on my feet was on the mat. I saw yellow. I said, I'm in a fight. I'm on my eyes swollen shut. I'm on, that means he made me look like shit. And I don't like looking ugly when I get in a fight. I like to come out beautiful like I am now. And so I was mad. So right there and there, I just stood straight up. He fell off because he was so tired. And then I was mad. I, you know, I was probably going at it, but the round ended. Well, next round, I'm like, well, before that, in between, you know, the doctor came in to check my eye. And, you know, I had Brian Baker, you know, working my corner. And, you know, he pushed it so it opened up just enough for me to see out of. Doctor came in, checked me, and I said, yeah, I can see, I'm good, whatever. So she walks out. Well, I'm like, this eye swung shut. So then the fight starts, I turn this way so I can just see out, because this eye, there was no, so I had to be able to see everywhere. So I turned this way, and then we went at it, and I was pissed because, you know, he busted my eye, and I was like, okay, I gotta pay him back. But, you know, I said he had good defense and I couldn't get no clean shots. So from there, I just submitted him and that was it, you know. But it, I mean, like I said, everything that happened in that fight, that happened before the fight, I mean, I can't forget because it was just unexpected stuff that, you know, you spar Chuck Congo, you get hurt, you go in the fight, you get knocked out, you come back. And it's just, it was awesome. It was an awesome experience for me.
How did you celebrate winning that the King of the Cage title?
Oh, you know what? Well, we were in Michigan, and, you know, they got a lot of lakes out there. And went out, and me and Brian Baker went to the lake, and we just jumped in. It was about 11:30 or 12 at night. We jumped in the water, went for a swim, and we were swimming out. And then we seen a fish. It looked like a fish got thrown out because it skipped over the water. Ding, 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 ding. And we both got scared. And we said, you know what? I'm going back because I don't know what happened with that fish. What if it was running from something or something tossed it? but I'm going back. I mean, because we were out probably a good, I'd say 30, 40 yards out. So, I mean, it was a good swim. So we turned around, just whoo, hustled our way back in. And, but after that, you know, just went to the bar and just had some drinks and, you know, celebrated with all the fans that were there. So it was awesome.
I read in a previous interview that you actually didn't work with one gym because it wouldn't let your wife come in and work with you.
That's the first one, Executive Fitness.
Right.
You know, we were there and, you know, like I said, I was doing my thing and they were trying to change me. I complained to her. I was like, man, this gym ain't working. You know, all they're doing is telling me to do all this stuff and it makes me so awkward. I mean, I can't do the moves they want. It confuses me and then it makes you forget what I do normally. And so, you know what? We're paying for the gym. Don't do their classes. Just do your own thing on the bag. You know, and so I started doing my things on the bag and that's where they were looking at like, man, she's a bad influence. She's telling them to do this. And they pulled me aside and they asked, hey, look, you really want to fight? You know, we went through all this spew. And I said, yeah. And I said, okay, well, you know, then your wife can't be here. You know, she's a distraction. And I said, okay, well, you know what? Let me talk to my wife about it and then I'll let you know. No. You make your decision right now. You know, it's your decision to make. If you want to fight, tell your wife to stay at home. If not, you know, you're done here at this gym. And I said, okay, well, I guess I'm done. Because to me, it was like, I'm not going anywhere if my wife can't come because like I said, she wouldn't say a word. You know, she wouldn't say nothing. Wouldn't interrupt me when I'm training. What it was is, you know, if we got a break or I got a water break, I'd go over and I'd complain. Or I'd tell her what I'm feeling or what's going on and stuff like that. So, you know, she at that time, she was a big part of my career. You know, she was a trigger for me to do what I had to do to come out ahead. So I could not have her in where I'm training because I said before even I started fighting, she'd go watch me do my martial arts and she saw my movement. She knew everything about me, you know, how my fighting style was, everything. So she knew when something wasn't working for me. So, you know, yeah, they booted us out and I was like, later.
Your wife actually still does or used to work your corners, right?
She used to. She's no longer my wife. So, you know, she was great. You know, I was saying, she was my trigger. You know, her voice, the minute, you know, if I got knocked down or I was dazed and, you know, I could easily pick her voice out, you know, and she'd say something, you know, pretty much get up or, you know, block yourself, defend, do this, do that. I'd react, you know, there was no need for me to have a thought process of my own in a sense when I was dazed. I just hearing her, I would just react. So, I mean, it was great, you know, but, you know, as time went on, you know, she got frustrated with our situation, you know, personal life. And then also in my fighting career, our kids, everything like that. So, you know, she started just pulling herself away from my fighting career. So, yeah, but I mean, like I said, she in the beginning, she was a big part of my career.
After winning the King of the Cage, not long after you fought in a Bellator against Rafael Davis, but lost by decision.
Yeah.
How was fighting in Bellator and what did you remember about that fight?
You know what? I mean, a lot of fights have a lot of memories and that one has a good one, but a sour one too. You know, it was great. You know, they called me up short notice. I think I had 4 days to lose 25, 30 pounds for that fight. And I had just done that two, 3 weeks prior to that, fighting Jason Lambert. Same thing, you know, lost, you know, that, you know, that's what I did with Jason Lambert. I lost 30 pounds. And then with them, I lost with Rafael, I lost 25. But it was murder because I went out there and I was like, man. And then, you know, humid. It was from Florida. It's humid. It's ugly. I put on a sweatsuit and I tell him, take me to the gym. Well, when we're going to the gym, the driver gets a call. He has to go back. And I was like, okay, well, is someone going to pick me up? He's like, I don't know. And then, you know, it was day of wins. And I was like, yeah, you know what? Just drop me off right here. He's like, I don't want me to take you to the gym. I'm going to know because if you can't get me, I got to make my way back. So I just figured from where he dropped me off, I'm going to run back to, you know, the hotel and stuff, which was about, I think it was between 3 and 5 miles. And I said, by the time I get there, I'll lose all the weight. And sure enough, I did. But I also shot my legs out because, you know, 2-3 weeks prior, I did the same thing. So my body was like, I'm done. So we get there. I make weight, no problem. Get in the fight. I can't move. You know, there's no reaction to anything he does to me until he makes contact. You know, my body was sleeping. Like, I don't need to do nothing unless someone touches me. So yeah, he took me down left and right. And, you know, he just hold me on the bottom, and it was frustrating me because and I think it was the second round, I knocked him out from the bottom with elbows. Boom, he just fell on me. I was like, oh shit, I think he's out. Well, let me just keep finishing him up. Or the next time I hit him, boom, he woke up. I was like, oh man, why'd I do that? But yeah, so we're just going back and forth. And let's put it this way. I walked out of the fight looking like this. And oh, hey, here's a good one. On the way to the fights in the airplane, the stewardess, she, you know, said, oh, where are you going? Blah, blah. So I told her I was fighting, blah, blah, all this great stuff, right? On the way back, I met her too. Same stewardess flying back. But anyways, in the fight, we fought, you know, I both his eyes were all black and blue, but he won because he was on top the whole time. Even though I looked like this and he looked like he's been in a fight, you know, he was the matchmaker's boy, so to say. You know, he wanted him to win. And let's put it this way, after the fight, Bajorn, you know, met me as I was walking out of the cage. And he's like, hey, man, I heard you took this fight on like, you know, 4 days. You lost like 25 pounds. And, you know, I'd love to have you back. And I'm like, oh, hey, man, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, that was that. And so on the way home, what I say about the stewardess, she saw me. So, oh, hey, how'd your fight go? And I was like, oh, you see that guy back there wearing those big glasses? So, yeah, I'm all, he won. So what, he beat you? I'm all, yeah. He's all, why is he wearing the glasses? I'm all, so he's got two big old black eyes. So what? No, all right, but he won? I'm all, yeah, you know, that's how it goes. But it was just funny. But yeah, you know, I mean, it was great.
Did you ever get any more chance to fight in Bellator? Because it's local to us.
Yeah, no. Now it's over. But back then, like I was saying, that Rafael Davis was the matchmaker was who was it at the time? Was it Croker? I believe it was a matchmaker at the time back then. And he had nothing good to say for me. I hit him up and told him, hey, you know, I'd like to fight for you guys again. And his pitch to me was, oh, you know what? I can't really sell you because you lost your fight. So, you know, my boss, he's not going to like it. He's like, no, this guy lost, you know, his first fight, you know, I can't get him in here. And I said, well, who's your boss? He said, Bajorn. And I said, oh, well, funny thing is, Bajorn told me he wanted me to come back. And this is all the over text. And after that text there, it went quiet. He wouldn't answer me no more, wouldn't say nothing. I was like, oh, okay, that's how it's going to be. You know, and that's how it went, you know. I got shunned from him because he just didn't want to use me. But, yeah, so, you know, my opportunity with that ended right there. You know, no more callbacks, no more nothing. I mean, even though, like I said, I took the fight short. The fight was good all the way through. You know, like I said, I did what I had to do. Only thing was I had no legs to be able to defend a takedown. But it was great.
Another fight you actually took on short notice is against a current UFC fighter, Alexei Oleinik. If I pronounce that correctly, April 20th, 2013. I think it was 9 days earlier. You actually fought in King of the Cage against Nick Ross, and this fight was actually in the Ukraine.
Yeah, yeah. No, you know what? That was a. I tried to back out of that fight, not because you know I didn't want to fight, but at the time, you know, the wife, she's like, "You just got your ass kicked. You can't go fight." You know, I mean, I had a cut. I mean, it was five rounds I did with Nick Rosborough. And the first three rounds, it was him just kicking my ass, you know, just pulverizing me. I mean, I don't know what happened to me that day, but he was beating me the punch. I mean, his stand-up was way better than mine that day. And for three rounds, he just beat the hell out of me. I was bleeding constantly. I mean, I lost so much blood, all this stuff. So come the third, into the third round, you know, John McCarthy was the ref. He's like, hey, if you need a way out, just let me know. You know, I'll stop the fight. You can blame me. I looked at him like, what are you talking about? I'm like, no, I'm good. And, you know, I was feeling good, but I was getting my ass beat. And so then when the wife came in, she's like, if you don't do something different, I'm going to throw a towel in because you're getting your ass beat. You look like shit. And I was like, whoa, no. You don't need to throw a towel in. I'll change it. And right after that, you know, I took him to the ground because he had nothing on the ground. Well, he won the first three. I won the last two. And, well, hey, he won the first three. He's going to win. You know, and I wasn't trying to submit him because I said, he kicked my ass good. So I was just trying to hit him back, ground and pound, do whatever I could just to punish him. But if I would have just went for a submission, I, you know, I would have ended it. But so anyways, he beat me bad. So, you know, I call the promotion over there and overseas, and I tell him, hey, I'm not going to be able to make the fight. And they're all, why? They're all, well, I'm suspended for like 45 days or something like that. And I said, where? I'm out here in the United States. So we don't care. You can come over here. We don't care about their suspicions over there. And I said, all right, fine, I'll go. Went over there. And I said, you know, and mind you, I said, I mean, it was cool. But I mean, I said, I got my ass beat. But I said, I was still good. Went with him. And here's the problem, though. When I went over there, usually when I fight overseas, I go by myself. So if I need someone to corner me, it's usually someone that's there or someone from the promotion, just someone, anybody. And well, this day, I was fortunate enough to have Alexi's manager corner me. And well, that worked all just perfect. I told him, look, all you need to do is give me water in between rounds and just let me know when there's a minute left in every round. That's it. Well, you know, when he's watching the fight, he's getting into the fight. He wants his fighter to win. So he's not thinking about what I said, you know, every last minute, tell me. Well, in the third round, Alexi gives me a triangle choke. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh man, it's a little tight. Okay, whatever. And I don't hear anything. And I'm like, fuck, I don't know how much time I got. You know, might be in the beginning of the round, might be in the middle. I have no clue. So I said, ah, fuck it. You know, I put on a show. I've been here to this, that. I'm calling it, you know. And I mean, it was getting tight. Not that I didn't tap just because, oh, whatever. No, it was getting tight. And I was like, I don't know how long I can go held off. I don't want to pass out. So I'm like, oh, let me just tap. And well, I tapped. And when I did, and I heard the time, there was 10 seconds left in the round. And I was like, well, in the third round, you know, and I was like, oh man, I got pissed. And I went to, you know, his manager. I said, why didn't you tell me there was a minute left? He's all, you know, I just got so into the fight. I was excited. And man, I forgot. So, but yeah, you know, it was great though. I mean, like I said, I mean, I don't take nothing away from any of my fights, especially even my losses, you know, things happen for a reason. And, you know, like I said, I just enjoyed the opportunity to go out there and fight. And, you know, yeah, I fought a lot of top name fighters and, you know, some I've won, some I've lost. And, you know, that's just the way it goes.
What did you rate? How did you rate Alexi?
Yeah, to me, I mean, he wasn't UFC material. And even now, like he's in the UFC, I watch him when he fights. And, I just think, I mean, there's so much room for improvement on his aspect because he's one-sided. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, he's a ground guy. And to me, if you look at my record, I mean, my wins are usually finishes, whether it's KO, TKO, or submission. I think I have, out of all my wins, I think I have 10 decision wins. And those decision wins came because I just didn't feel like fighting that day. But, you know, I still won. But, he has a lot of room to grow if he actually wanted to, you know, instead of just being one-sided fighter. I don't like one-sided fighters. I like fighters that, you know, can go in any position, any stand, on the ground, whatever it is, you know. So, but, yeah.
How was your time over in the Ukraine? Because it seems to be either the opponent gets treated like royalty, they give you a nice hotel, or they treat you, you know, kind of badly, and they give you a hotel that's miles away, and they make it really hard for you.
Every time I've gone over there, it's just been great for me. You know, I mean, there's only one time, but it was in Russia, where they told me, hey, you know what? When you go in your hotel room, you stay in there. Don't come out. Don't walk around or anything like that, because they'll take you. And then, you know, at the time when I went, there was guys standing outside in every corner with, you know, AK-47s, all that stuff. And I was like, damn, and, you know, it's just a bad part of town. And so I hated it because I was in my hotel room was maybe 10 by 20 feet, you know, big. So, I mean, it was small. I felt like a prison. It was all white, a little thin window to look out. And, you know, like I said, I felt like a prisoner because I just looked out like, man, I want to go out there and do this, do that. And no, until they came knocking, like, hey, let's go get some breakfast, or, you know, let's go to the fight, let's go to Wayne's, whatever it was. But yeah, most of the time, every time I go out overseas, it's great. You know, I always have someone that wants to practice their English. and they'll take me out sightseeing and just to talk. So I mean, I love it.
How many countries have you fought in?
Quite a lot. I mean, it's, I'd say, man, I don't want to. I'd say at least eight.
Do you have a favorite?
You know what? I just got to say Australia was great. I loved it because same thing, you know, I had a sponsor out there and he took me out. And then after that, after the fight, I met another Californian that moved out there and they took me out fishing, which is something, you know, that I would have never done. And, you know, through the canals and all that stuff. So it was just an experience that was, it was great.
Someone you fought actually that fights this weekend, Jared Cannonier, you fought him and lost a split decision. What did you think of Jared? He fights Derek Brunson this weekend.
You know, it's, I mean, you know, he's gotten a lot better. He's gone down in weight from when he fought me, which to me was, it was a good move for him. You know, he's got a lot of skills, you know, and like when I fought him, he annoyed the hell out of me because he didn't want to fight me. He wanted to win. And that's what I don't like in a fight. When you come to fight, you know, you win. When you just come to win, it ain't exciting, it ain't fun. It's just nothing. But I mean, like I said, he's a good guy. You know, I have no. You know, when I see him, we talk, and it's like, you know, we have a good time. But yeah, no, I see him doing good this weekend.
You fought in lots of promotions, you know, King of the Cage, Bellator, but USC is probably considered the largest MMA platform. Have you ever been close to signing to the UFC?
Nah, you know what? I got blacklisted, and it's okay. You know, I've been in the industry so long. You know, you figure, okay, why don't they want me? You know, and I talked to Dana White, and you know, he brushed me off like, oh, you know what? You got to talk to my boss. And I was like, who's your boss? He said Joe Silva, and I laughed. I was like, do you take me for an idiot? Like, I don't know how this business works and who's what. But, you know, when he brushed me off like that, I figured, okay, you know what? He don't want me. But, you know, I've hit up every organization. And my thing is that I've been labeled a journeyman. And back when I started, a promoter told me, hey, don't go fighting around everywhere because you're going to be labeled as journeyman. And no one's going to take you in, you know, in the big leagues. And I said, but if I'm winning, why wouldn't they take me? It don't matter where I fight. If I'm fighting everywhere in every, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, if I'm winning, you know, I'm good. But I believe that promoter is the one who blacklisted me, you know, and talked to other, you know, because all the promoters know each other and they all talk to each other. And I think he talked to Dana and just sell them, hey, you know what, don't take them. And that was it. But like I said, I mean, that's where in my career, it was doing great. I was doing great. You know, I had 16 fights in a row. And then I decided, you know, I want to go to the UFC. And when I went to try and get to them, you know, they just brushed me off. And then my career went to shit. You know, I think in the next 2 years, I only won 2 fights out of 10. And, you know, I was looking at, yeah, maybe I'm done. You know, if I can't make it to the finish line, what am I doing? But in the end, you know, I turned around and said, you know what? I love what I do. It don't matter if they don't want me. I just keep doing what I do. And what I love about it is that I'm on Tapology, I've been since 2010 or 2009, I've been ranked number one, you know, of all the fighters that are not in the UFC or Bellator, stuff like that, you know, big shows. I've been ranked number one this whole time since all that. I barely right now went down to number 3 only because, you know, I haven't really fought in MMA. And they say when you don't fight in MMA, you start losing your rankings. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm proud to say, you know, I've been number one for over a decade. So I'm not ashamed of what I do.
Your current record, depending on where you read it, is somewhere between 64 wins, 33 losses, and one draw. You're approaching around 100 fights. Do you have anything in your head, like a ballpark figure of when you think you'll retire?
Well, you know what? I've thought that. I'm like, oh, I don't like my record because like I said it used to be a beautiful record. You know, 16-2 was nice. I like that. And when I started getting all those losses, it was just because I was going for a payday. You know, I mean, I didn't care if I won or lost. I was just like, hey, man, I'm going to pay me good right now. So let me go. But now I want to, my goal is I want to hit 100 fights, 100 wins. you know, on my record. And, you know, I want to hit a good 30 fight win career. So, you know, that's what I want. I want a streak of 30 fights in a row. And, you know, then I can say, okay, you know what? I did what I wanted to do. Because my thing was too, is when I started this, when you were asking me, you know, what got me into fighting, I set goals for myself and I hit every single goal. My goal was I wanted to fight MMA. I wanted to travel the world. I wanted to be in movies and in commercials, all that stuff. And, you know, I wanted to be on music, and I've done all that, you know? And so when I hit every single goal, it was kind of like, well, what else am I doing? You know, why am I doing this? So now in my next, I had to set a new goal, which was I wanted to get 100 fights and I want to get at least 30 fights in a row with, you know, wins.
You fought in MMA, kickboxing, Muay Thai, boxing, bare knuckle. Do you have a favorite?
You know what? I do. It's bare knuckle. You know, whether it's bare knuckle boxing or bare knuckle MMA, you know, I love it just because it's more, to me, I say it's more real. You know, there's no gloves, there's nothing. It's just, to me, when the UFC first started, I loved it. No gloves, no weight class. It was just one-on-one. Excuse me, size didn't matter. Who's a better fighter? And that's what I've always wanted. You know, it's like, man, I tried to get into UFC number 4. At the time, you know, I was 6'5", but 170 pounds. So I was a tall twig. And I don't think they much liked that. You know, they wanted big, burly guys and stuff like that. Something that looked good on TV. But yeah, you know, I just love the rawness of a fight. You know, I've never been in a street fight, you know, and it's just people don't want to fight me in the streets. I don't know. You know, I think they might be intimidated by my height or something like that, or just because I'm so ugly. But yeah, so when I got a bare knuckle MMA and bare knuckle, you know, boxing, I was just like, oh, sweet. You know, and hey, now I know what it feels like when you just get hit, you know, like if I was in the streets. And it's I like it.
You actually started in bare knuckle at BKB one. Did you ever think the sport would grow so fast? It's the fastest growing combat sport in the world.
You know what? I did because after that first show, I just watching the fights and, you know, being in my fight, I realized that this is the new wave. This is what people want to see, because MMA and boxing, everything is regardless, it got boring. You know, it's been around so long and they've been doing it the same way. Everything is like, what's new? This is all new, you know, and it's exciting, you know, see people get busted up and just knocked out, which with bare hands, you know, it's like watching a street fight. So, you know, everybody always stops when there's a street fight. If I'm there, I'm like, ooh, who's that? Let me go watch this fight. Let me see who, you know, what happens. You know, it's entertaining.
You were actually involved in the bloodiest fight of 2018 against Joey Beltran. That fight has been watched more than 3 million times on the BKFC YouTube page. Can you just break that fight down for us?
You know what? that fight was, you know, as I said, it's awesome. It was awesome. You know, I honestly believe that if it wasn't for me and Joey, bare knuckle wouldn't have got the explosive break that it got. Because every fight that was happening, you know, I was hearing, man, it's not working, man. These guys, they're not fighting the way we wanted them to. Everything's just going bad, you know. And then me and Joey got out there. The first round was like, eh, whatever. Second round, you know, it was okay. You know, I got cut open, so they were like, okay. Third round is when I turned it up. You know, I was warmed up. That's my thing. And it took me 5 minutes to warm up. And in bare knuckle boxing, that's a bad thing, because 2 minute rounds, you know, 5 minutes, you're already in third round and it's almost over. You got 2 more rounds left. So, but yeah, we turned it up and we went at it. And it was a straight dog fight. We were just swinging. We didn't care to block, move, nothing. It was just like, let's go. Let's see, you know, last man standing. And we both got cut open, just blood everywhere. And there was no quit on either side. So it's like, we set, I guess, the template for what you have to do when you're in the cage. For other fighters to say, oh, look, that's what you do when you're in there. You got to go at it. You can't just stop there. You know, you can't block. It ain't even like boxing, you know, oh, let me move around, score my points and win. It's not. You get in there and you put on a show, you know, you see how much blood you get out of your opponent, and that's how you get paid. And that's how they bring you back. So yeah, I mean, it was awesome.
Do you have a good relationship with Joey? You fought him several times.
You know what? It is. I mean, we're cool, but when in the ring, it's a different experience. It's different because, you know, like in MMA, I beat him twice. You know, bare knuckle boxing, he beat me once, and we got a split decision or whatever. Well, not a split decision, a draw. So it's like we need one more fight just to see who the better man is. But I mean, I'm like Joey. I mean, he has better hands than me, hands down, you know. And MMA, there's no way he'll ever beat me because, like I said, his crown ain't that great and my kicks are awesome and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's why I like bare knuckle because it's a new sport for me, too, that I have to polish up my hands. Yeah, I've never knocked anyone out with my hands in MMA, you know, just you know, they've been knocked out with kicks and, you know, knees and elbows, but never a punch. So that's what my thing is, hey, you know what, let me see if I can knock someone out with my punch. So, you know, it's awesome. But yeah, Joey's a great guy.
Do you think you're one of the last gladiators in the sport compared to most fighters now? The more of a business.
You know what? I don't think I know I'm the last one because there's no one on this planet that will do what I do. You know, this fight I got coming up. This fight I got coming up. You know, they called me, I think it was just Thursday or Friday of last week. And they hit me up, hey, you want to fight, you know, on the 12th? I said, yeah. And I didn't, you know, it wasn't like, hey, you want to fight? Well, how much you paying or who's the opponent? No, it's like, yeah, I'll fight. You know, I never ask who I'm fighting, what they're paying. It's like, no, I'll take the fight because regardless, I'm going to get something. You know, and to me, it's free money. You know, if someone wants to gain money to go out and, you know, put on a show and, you know, for me, raise my popularity and get more recognized, I love it. You know, just off this fight right here, it's going to be in Utah. I got fans from out there posting stuff, and it came back to people that I know over here telling me, hey, you know, that they have family out there. They said, hey, you know what? So-and-so posted this and that, and, you know, it's my friend. And he told me, I didn't even know you were fighting, so he said, you know, something about it. So, I mean, it's awesome, you know. It's like I said, it's a small world, but everybody knows everybody. And just to have people from another state, you know, show me love and, you know, look forward to, you know, me being coming out there and, you know, putting on a show is awesome. And then to top it off, you know, my age is another great factor, you know. There's no one at my age that can keep doing or does what I do, you know, and then like last minute fights, unheard of, you know, fighting, unheard of, being able to hang out and go at it with 20-year-olds, unheard of, you know. So the whole thing is I just keep practicing when I fight in the cage or in the ring or the square circle is to practice, see if I still got it or can still defend myself or if need be my family. You know, that's what it is. I'm just seeing where I rank.
How has the business changed from when you first started? And was it 2005?
You know what? It's what we were talking about, that there's no more real fighters left. You know, they've all died out. I mean, let's put it this way. It was pretty much I want to say 06, 07 is where they started dwindling away. And that's back in the day where you had, you know, fighters like, you know, Rampage, Chuck Liddell, you know, what's his name? Oh, the guy with the fangs. Mouthpiece. They're all old school fighters, you know. But those guys were kind of sort of say the last of the fighters that were around. Once they retired and stepped away, man, like you said, it just became a business. Okay, I got to fight this many fights. Don't matter if they're good guys or no bad guys. You know, most people, when they build a record, they fight fishes. You know, and I said, okay, here I am. I'm good. Let me go. Now I can fight in the UFC or back in the Strike Force, Bellator, whatever it was, you know. But yeah, there's no real fighters left. So that's the biggest thing. Everybody just, you know, yeah, let's put it this way. If I'm on a card or when I was on a card and, you know, I was in King of the Cage. When I had a title fight coming up, my opponent got hurt. They had to go through at least 7 to 10 different people to try and get me an opponent because everybody would say no. Oh no, I need more time to train. Oh no, I can't fight Tony on a 2-week notice or a week notice. It just, no, I can't do that. And I mean, I remember one guy, his name was, I believe James Hamilton. his manager didn't even tell him who he was fighting. He just said, hey, I got to fight for you. You know, it's over in California. Okay, yeah, all right. And the look on his face when we were doing our weigh-ins, I mean, he up until weigh-ins, he still didn't know who he was fighting. They called him up, and then he called me up, and his face like, what? And it just got blank. And let's put it this way. During that fight, it was the saddest thing in the world. It lasted maybe about a minute 30. He threw a few swings at me. I kicked him in the stomach. He went to the ground. I got on his back, and he started tapping. And I looked at him. I was mad. I got up. The referee, Cecil People, was like, what are you doing? I'm like, he just tapped. What? He looks at him and says, you tapped? He's like, yeah. Cecil People said, why? He's like, because he was hitting me. He's like, no, he wasn't. I was watching. He wasn't even touching you. So, but it was over. It was done, you know. He was like, man, I just need to get out of here. I don't want to get hurt and stuff like that. But it was just funny. That's what it was. You know, that's what being a fighter is. It don't matter who you go against. And, you know, if you think you're going to lose, you're not a real fighter. What it is, a real fighter is like, you know what? I'm going to go in there and give it everything I got. And I might win. I might lose. I might win. Well, so we're going to find out. And that's my mentality is I don't ever think I'm going to lose. But I always think, hey, well, there's a chance they could beat me. But if they can't, that means I'm going to win. So let's go do this.
But who do you class as the best you've ever faced so far?
Who's the best?
Yeah, the best you've ever faced.
Oh man, you know what? That's hard to say. I mean, because there's a lot of, I say I got a lot of fights, and a lot of them, you know, were good. I mean, I always used to say when I fought Keith Barry, that was a tough fight for me mentally. Because I trained, I was physically perfect. Everything for that fight, I was perfect for it. And so when I fought him, it was a title fight for King of the Cage. And when I fought him, the first round, I knocked him on his ass. And, you know, I went to go finish him off. And when I did that, I blew my wad. I mean, I gave everything I had into, you know, 30 seconds of he's finished. The ref's going to stop it. And the ref didn't stop it. So after that, then it was just a fight for me. To try and come back because I was so exhausted from trying to finish him. But, you know, it's still, I finished him in the third round, but it was 15 minutes of grueling pain because he was coming at me. I was so exhausted. You know, he was fresh. I wasn't as fresh because, like I said, everything I did. But like I said, every round, I knock him on his ass. I knock him down. I daze him, all that stuff. And the only thing, what I say is the only thing that saved me in that fight is his corner through the talon. For him, you know, because I was knocking him down. He was dazed. I was beating him good. That they did their job as a corner. You know, they saved his career. So it worked out that way for me. I was like, whew, if they hadn't thrown that fight, I mean, the towel, I thought to myself, well, each round, if he just hits me one good one, because I'm so tired, he's going to knock me out. So, I mean, I love that fight just because of that, because I was physically in great shape. Everything was good, but the way it worked out, man, it was putting me to the test. Man, can I keep going? Can I keep doing this? Do I want to? I mean, it was grueling, but it was awesome. So, you know, I'll just keep saying that fight right there was one of my toughest fights, you know, just because it was physically and mentally everything I had to do to keep going.
Tony, who would you say is the most talented fighter you've seen, like in the gym or in the ring or in the cage, who didn't actually make it for some reason or another?
You know what? I can't even say anyone because everyone I've met, sparred with, or even fought, they've all made it except me. You know, I mean, there's a period when I got into it with Joe Silva about the UFC that anybody I fought. Win or lose, they got a ticket to the UFC, and it was just to spite me, you know. And you know, like I said, it is what it is. But yeah, no, everybody that let's put it this way: when I start my career, there's people that come up to me, oh man, hey, I want to do this, I want to do that, what you do and stuff like that. I want to go to UFC, and we'd be like, oh hey, that's great, you know, just all your dreams, keep it up, you know. And well, now, you know, they've been there, they've made it, and I still haven't. And you know, that's one of the things that broke the ex-wife is that she was so furious that why is everybody that started even after you in the UFC and you're still not there? And I tell him, well, I'm never going to make it there. They don't want me. You know, what do you want me to do? I can't go in there and force my way in. If they don't want me, they don't want me. But that's where she started falling off of, you know, wanting to, you know, do anything with my career or anything and stuff. But, it is what it is. You know, I can't control other people and what they decide, you know, especially if the UFC, if I want to go in there, I can't force them to put me in there. I mean, the only thing I can do is do what I want to do out here now, which what I said is if I get 30 fights in a row at my age, I'm pretty sure either they'll put me in just to shut people up. Like, hey, why don't you give him a shot? You know how old he is and what he's doing, what he's still doing. You know, who can stop him? And that's kind of like what my goal is in a sense. It's not that I want to fight for the UFC or Bellator or anything like that. But if they call me just to shut up their fighters and put their fighters on check and let them know, look, you know who I am. Now I'm going to show you why I was never let in here. And I'll, you know, beat the hell out of them. And then, hey, you know, even if it's just one fight, and it'd be for a title, because otherwise I wouldn't fight him. But I'm going to go in there and beat the hell out of him, say thank you, and see you later. And that's why, you know, I'm the best in the world.
Do you have a list of your favorite fights of your career so far?
A list of my favorite fights?
Yeah, your favorite fights.
Nah, I don't really look at my fights that I have and stuff. I mean, like I said, when it happens, I'm like, oh, hey, man, that was a badass fight. I like that. You know, that's cool. You know, like what, you know, what we were talking about when I said Keith Barry, and then you mentioned Beltran. Mm-hmm. You know, those were, to me, exciting fights. And so, I mean, I can't sit here and just name off, because I don't think about my fights. It's like they happen, they're done, they're in the past. So let's go on to the next one or the future. You know, I mean, there was a time in my career when I was fighting 14 times a year, and it was awesome. You know, I did 9 one year, then next year I did 10, then 12, 13, 14. I mean, they were just going up and up and up. And I was like, yeah, I love it. You know, every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks, I'm taking a fight. I mean, that's what I love to do. You know, I don't get hurt in fights. So yeah, that's why I can do that turnaround. And so, I mean, I love that. That's what I like right now. You know, if these fights keep coming, I'm taking them, you know, and like I said, all of my fights are usually dropouts for someone else getting hurt or something like that. And they know, you call Tony, he's coming. It ain't going to be like, oh, no, I can't, you know. Only time I ever say I can is because I already got another fight. But other than that, I mean, it's like, oh, your fight's this week and their fight's next week. Yeah, I can make your fight, you know, ain't on the same day. It's a week later. Let's do it, you know. So
what's the shortest amount of time you've actually taken a fight?
I think 3 days.
Three.
So, I mean, as I said, there ain't no, you know what? Yeah, no, it was 3 days. It was King of the Cage. You know, they had a fight. It was against Clementino. Can't remember his first name, but they brought me in to pretty much teach this guy a lesson, you know, because he's like, hey, man, this guy's respecting everybody. You know, his opponent dropped out. And I had a fight, and I think about, I want to say a good 6 months or something like that. I was just on a break or something. But they called me up, and I wasn't trained nothing. So I was like, yeah, I'll go do it. Went in there, and I mean, I talk about feeling so out of place. You know, he was taking care of me standing up, and I'm like, how am I supposed to teach this guy a lesson if he's beating me? So I ended up taking him to the ground because he had no clue what to do on the ground. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you know, I put him away, and that was it. But you know, like I said, it was great.
Is there anyone? Is there anybody that you would have liked to have fought that you didn't fight?
Well, yeah, everybody in the UFC that ever was a champion, because like me, when people sometimes they've asked me, hey, was there any fighters you ever looked up to? And I said, no. Why would I ever look up to anybody? I tried to do this when it first came out. You know, I mean, it's like when the UFC first started, I said I could beat all those guys up. They didn't take me in there, and it sucks because Gracie would have never had his breakthrough. Jiu-Jitsu wouldn't be where it's at right now if they would have let me in, because I would have shut jiu-jitsu down completely and showed everybody that jiu-jitsu sucks. You know, I mean, it's good for, you know, your person to defend themselves against people that don't know nothing. But someone that knows a little bit, which is what I consider myself, I learned the 5 basic moves of jiu-jitsu. You know, your arm bar, your triangle choke, your leg locks, you know, the basics. And that's all I needed to know to how to defend myself against everything else. and it had to stop them and beat them, because ground people, or should I say jiu-jitsu people, a wrestler can beat them because the wrestler knows how to hold a guy and then control him. You know, and when you get a guy who knows wrestling and how to ground and pound, jiu-jitsu people don't like getting hit. So you hit them, hey, they get quit or they get knocked down, and you know, that's it. So, but yeah, you know, that's just how it'd be.
Have you thought about what would be the perfect last fight for you? And do you have like an opponent in mind that you'd like to fight for the last one?
No, well, see, that's what I always say. You know, there's nobody I want to fight, because there's nobody I say, oh, you know, I'd like to fight him, you know, test myself this. Because when I look at people, there's nothing. You know, right now, what's that one guy in the UFC, the heavyweight champion? You know, everybody.
Ngannou?
Yeah. He can knock this out. He can do this. He's powerful, blah, 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 blah. And when I look at him, I'm like, oh, yeah, he's strong. He's got power. But, you know, he's never faced anyone like me. You know, and here's the thing. If I fought him right now, you know, he'd probably win. Because, one, I ain't where I need to be to be, you know, beating all these guys in the UFC or Bellator, all that stuff. You know, I'm barely revamping myself. You know, this COVID stuff, I've taken all this time off. I haven't trained. Not this first time in my whole life that I never trained, you know, stuff. And, you know, for this fight, I just barely, like I said, when they told me, I said, oh, you know what, let me start doing a little bit something, you know, get the cardio up, you know, get a little bit of a muscle, lift some weights, you know, just moving around, you know, get myself back into it. And so my whole goal right now, my goal is by the time I'm 50, I'll be back in my prime shape and everything, and destroying people the way I used to do when I first started, which is what people, you know, no one can do. But so that's what I'm going to show people. Like, look, I'm old, but I can still do what I did when I was, you know, well, 32, because I started when I was 32. I'm old when I started, and I'm old now. I keep doing it. But I'm going to show them that I can still do what I do, and I can still hang and surpass these 20-year-olds that are in their prime and all this stuff. And everybody's going to be dumbfounded. Like, how the hell is he doing this? You know, and I'll just come back to what I always said. Well, I'm Kryptonian. You know, my blood's different from everybody else's. So when you come from Krypton, you come here, you know, you're a little stronger, you're a little better, everything's better.
Where did the nickname come from?
Well, you know, back in the day with Colin Oyama, he took all the fighters in a meeting and told us, hey, you know, you guys need to have a fight name. You know, that was one of the topics we were talking about. You know, if you're a fighter, you get a good fight name, because that's what people are going to remember you by. And to me, my fight name, I love the Wuss Maker. You know, I just love the name. And I was like, that's me. I make wusses out of people. But at the time, the wife I had, she said, no one's going to get that. You know, that's old stuff. You know, people from now, they don't know what a wuss he is and all that stuff. That's just stuff from your time. And she told me, she's like, hey, well, everybody thinks they're Superman. Why don't you be their Kryptonite? And I said, you know what? I like that. That sounds perfect. Yeah, it's true. Everybody says, you know, they claim to be as strong as Superman or invincible and stuff. And, well, there's only one thing that drops Superman, and that's Kryptonite. So, yeah, that's where it came from.
Tony, what would you say is your secret to your longevity in the sport?
My training methods and my sparring methods. Because like I was saying earlier, that people, when they spar hard, they go at it like a fight, they get hurt, they get injuries. And when they train, you know, also, you know, where they're grappling or whatever they're doing, you know, they're going a little too hard and they get injuries. You know, most times when people get out of pull out of a fight is because they got hurt in training. You know, I don't train like that. And I do a lot of stuff on my own. You know, I, like when I was with Colin Oyama and I had my 16 fight win streak, I would do everything at my house, and I'd go there a week before my fight for 2 days, and I spar and I grapple just to see where I was at. Okay, well, if what I'm doing, is it working? And yeah, when I go to the gym, yeah, it's working, no problem. Okay, and my coach Colin, he'd put me through a rigorous test, like, hey, okay, let's do pad work, let's do, you know, this, let's do that, let's spar, you know, and he just run me, see where I was at. And I was always right I was on peak, you know. It's like, he's like, okay, good, you're ready. I'm like, let's go. So he never had doubts when I'd go to a fight, if I took a last minute fight, because he knew I was always ready, no matter what. And that's my thing, is that when I train or practice or do whatever I do it so I don't get hurt. You know, if I'm going to get hurt, it's going to be in the fight. And, you know, it's just something happens there. But yeah, that's the reason I'm still here doing what I'm doing, you know?
Tony, I appreciate you giving me an hour of your time. I think it would be good for us to leave it with some advice for people listening that want to be a fighter and want to follow in your footsteps. What advice do you have for them?
You know what? The only advice I'd tell anybody out there is whether it's fighting or anything you want, you know, if you want to do it, do it. Dedicate yourself to it. You know, when I started fighting or, you know, getting ready for what I want to do in my life, you know, my martial arts, when I did it 5 days a week, 5 hours a day. It was just my life. So, I mean, if you want to be successful and you want to be the best at something, dedicate your time, your life, everything to it, you know, because if you don't, you're only going to half-ass it. You know, you get so far, you only do so much, but don't ever let no one tell you, hey, don't do it, man. That's like, you know, that's way out of the way. You can't do that, you know, from acting to singing to fighting to, you know, being in a football, basketball, all kind of any kind of anything. If someone tells you you can't do it, it's just because they can't do it. Doesn't mean you can't. So just, hey, believe in yourself and no matter what. Because even like I said, when I started fighting, everybody told me, don't do it, don't do it. You know, you're going to get hurt. This ain't going to be good. No money. And here I am. I'm still doing it. I'm making a decent living off it. And I'm not complaining. So just follow your dreams.
I appreciate that, Tony. If you want to tell anybody where they can find you on social media, on Instagram, if you want to give a shout out to your sponsors and tell people where they can see your next fight.
Yeah, well, you know what? Instagram, Facebook, you know, Tony Kryptonite Lopez, it's my name. And then my next fight's in Salt Lake, Utah for Fist. What is it called? Fist Fight. Oh, man, you know, I'm going to chop it up, but I didn't even try to say, but it's in Utah and stuff. But, you know, my sponsors definitely want to thank, you know, All or Nothing Clothing because, you know, they give me everything, all my gear. It's always tight. Everything when I walk out to, that's what they give me, you know. Avenger Cycles take care of my motorcycle whenever, you know, I have any issues. Boom. They take care of me over in San Bernardino. JNS Automotives off of 2nd Street in Yucaipa. Same thing, you know, my car has a problem, I take it there and they hook it up. So it's all great. And also big one to OC Fight Doctor over in Orange County, you know, if anything gets kinked up on this body before a fight or after a fight, they do their job and make me feel good. Oh, one last thing, reason I don't get knocked out is because of my mouthpiece made by Unbreakable Mouthpiece. So over in Hesperia. So yeah, thank you guys.
And you can find us at TLRMMA on Instagram and Twitter. And be sure to catch us next time. This is The Last Round.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Last Round MMA Podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and interviews. In the meantime, follow The Last Round MMA on Twitter and Instagram at TLRMMA. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Last Round MMA Podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and interviews. In the meantime, follow The Last Round MMA on Twitter and Instagram at TLRMMA.